Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. We'd like to welcome you to come and reason together through the Word of God. It says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And we are in the book of Matthew. We're looking at the first step of understanding of Jesus' life, his new kingdom he is bringing to mankind, taking away the Old Testament law that started with Moses about 2,500 years after Adam was created, and in effect until the very day that Jesus died at the very end of Matthew, around chapter 27, I think it is. We'll read it so we can see exactly where that is. And you see, you can see the New Testament didn't start till the end of Matthew. It didn't start till the end of Mark. It did not start till the end. I'm not talking the very end, but at the last part of Luke and the last part of John. He brought in this new, the kingdom of the heavens, it's called now, or also called, known as the kingdom of God.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver.
And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
So come join us, get your cup of coffee and your Bible, and we're going to read through the Bible. But starting in the book of Matthew, the Gospels, especially the four Gospels in this series.
And here's a song that the Holy Spirit gave to my friend Stephen, and this song also kind of jumps around in the scriptures and would probably get you those locations. Just got to ask. Maybe you can call Gilbert of it his site.
Or call, yeah, Stephen's name's on the website too.
Yeah.
Stephen Patton.
Yeah, okay.
From that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Now after John had been put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled, repent and believe in the gospel. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. There was a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are from God, for no one can do these things that you have done. Jesus answered and said to him, be born from above to see the kingdom. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. Come to me, all you children, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. He who does not receive the kingdom, like a child, will not enter in. From that time Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens are in reach. So repent and believe in the gospel, so that we may fulfill the Father's will, coming to Jesus and doing His word, to enter His kingdom just as you've heard. To enter His kingdom just as you've heard.
Okay, we're continuing on in Matthew 23. We read, the context was Jesus spoke to the crowds and to His disciples saying, so the crowds are here, the disciples are here, the religious leaders are here, the pastors, the ministers, and they sit on the seat of Moses. These are people that are bringing the law. And the same as today, these are people that are supposed to be teaching God's laws, His ways, His thoughts, His mind on things, His heart. And it says, yet you leave or you bind heavy burdens and lay them on the shoulders of men, but themselves will not move them with their finger. He is talking to, again, the religious leaders. They're telling the people what to do, but they're living a different life. You ever see that in churches where all of a sudden they find the minister is not
walking the walk?
Nope. And yet they bind heavy burdens and lay them on the shoulders of men. And that's why he called them hypocrites. And it says they broaden their phylacteries. In other words, their knowledge gets wider and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love cheap places in Bible position. They love a higher position. They want to be called the lead pastor. And they get the chief parking place in front of the big mega church. And they get a lot of benefits.
And not only that, they like the chief place at feast where everybody's there, and they want to be saluted out in the marketplaces, and they want to be called by everyone teacher.
They want to be famous.
And Jesus stopped him. He says, while he was a man, while he was a son of man, he hadn't been raised yet, somebody called him teacher, rabbi. They called Jesus rabbi, and Jesus said, no. He just said, call no man rabbi. And he included himself because he was born of a woman. He became a man for a while. He was a teacher, but he was setting the example so all of us cannot really call ourselves teachers. What's a better word for us today? All of us.
Fellow students.
Students. We're students. Don't desire that name teacher, actually. I don't believe that's... We're one of the group. We are students of the Bible and students of Jesus's ways and His heart. We want to know what's on His heart, in His mind, but that wasn't the religious leaders. Now, we're going to keep following. These are the seven woes to these false teachers that called themselves teachers, but were not. They were teaching man's ways. They were going against, really going against Moses' law. The heart of it. They weren't, you know, it's one thing to obey the points of the law, but it's another to obey the heart of the law, what the law really stands for. And so this is the context of 13 in chapter 23, and it goes all the way to verse 36, and we're going to read that next. And it's seven woes, and the targets of the woes are who?
The Pharisees and the Sadducees.
The hypocrites.
And the hypocrites.
Scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites.
And he also calls them blind.
Calls them blind guides and blind men.
And they're the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Go ahead. Start in 13.
But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of the heavens before men, for you enter not in, neither suffer ye those entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land and make one proselyte. When he has become one, you make him twofold more a son of Gehenna than you. Woe to you, blind guides, that say, whoso shall swear by the temple is nothing, but whoso shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Fools and blind, For which is greater, the gold or the temple that had sanctified the gold? And whoso shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whoso shall swear by the gift upon it, he is a debtor. Blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Who therefore swears by the altar, swears by it, and by all the things thereon. And he swears by the temple, swears by it, and by him that dwells therein. But who sweareth by the heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by the one sitting thereon. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. By these you ought to have done, and not have left those. Blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you cleanse the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full from extortion and excess. Blind Pharisee, cleanse first the inside of the cup and of the platter, that its outside become clean also. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed sepulchres, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Thus also you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the sepulchres of the prophets and garnish the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should have not been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So that you witness to yourself that you are the sons of them that slew the prophets. Fill you also up the measure of your fathers, serpents, offspring of vipers. How shall you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Therefore, lo, I send you unto prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall you kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you might come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah of Berechiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Amen, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this race.
What did you all see in that context? There was a whole lot. This is all talking to whom?
Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He makes note of that many times.
Church leaders. I don't care whatever religion you are. All over the world, the Bible, there is one word. This pertains to all men on the earth. And this pertains to the leaders of every single denomination, sect, religion. And how are we doing? How are they doing? How do we do in this? Are we watching these things in our lives? Are we ridding ourselves of these? There's seven main issues here.
One that stood out to me was in verse 23, where it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you tithe mint and anise and cumin, and have left the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. But these ye ought to have done, and not to have left those. And it was interesting because they're doing something that's actually technically good, like tithing mint. What is it? Mint, anise, and cumin. Like they're supposed to be doing that. But they've left out something that God says that this is important. A weightier matter, which is this is something that's more important, which is here.
It's three things, isn't it? It's not just two or one. We know some people that just like to hand out mercy like it's a free thing. And it's unmerited favor is what mercy means. But how about the first thing is not mercy, it's judgment. And they tend to walk over judgment and not use judgment. They don't even get into that at all. Judgment is to make decisions. they treat it like it means condemnation. Judge not that you be not judged. That's the one that they always quote in churches, and so they don't do any judgment. And our country is based on judgment. Everybody seems to be running away from judgment, and judgment is not condemnation. It's making a decision whether what we're doing is going to lead to eternal life or what we're doing is going to lead to eternal death. Isn't that an important decision?
Mm-hmm.
It's the most important decision you'll ever make. And if you keep eating those donuts, those Dolly Madison treats or whatever they used to call them, if you keep eating candy, your teeth are going to fall out. If you only want sweets in your life, you're going to get big and your joints are going to fail you and your knees and your hips and
your heart.
Your heart will fail you if you keep just liking sweets and you don't eat a good balanced diet. Your teeth will go in your face. And did you know periodontal disease, teeth disease, is a very big factor in your heart health? What you eat.
Mm.
So you'd want to take care of yourself. So there's a judgment. So sometimes you have to get after your kids that are eating too many sweets. Or because you just like mercy, you just keep giving them sweets, and then their teeth fall out, and then they have heart disease and die at a younger age. You have to make these decisions. Judgment means to make decisions. Discern. It means to discern.
And if you don't teach people, by my faith, I will show you what I do. If you leave faith off, then you have to go back and use more of that mercy. And then you're just mercy and left and right and leaving decisions and actions and following God out of it.
As well as truth, because mercy is a huge part of determining the truth. Judgment.
The other thing with this too is that these two, or out of the three, are two of those foundation principles found over in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. And those are important.
So faith. Mercy's not a foundation principle.
Right.
So he left the foundations out.
Right. Oh, we'll just leave
the
foundations
out. If you just wanted mercy,
out.
Just leave the foundations out and be mercy. It's not, there's no repentance there. That mercy will not save you.
Especially if you don't have faith, because faith is accounted to us as righteous. These people were not acting in faith. He called them wicked. Our faith is accounted to us as righteousness. So,
and he finishes this with blind guides straining out a gnat and swallowing the camel. And it was explained to me this way, and it's funny this way too. When you're thinking about the gnat and all that, but it's literally they're missing the whole point. Yes, they're supposed to be doing those things, but they have neglected the weightier matters, the things that God finds or says that these are important, but they want to do things that are people can see them doing, And so that, again, they're missing the point. And that goes into being a grammarian about things is trying to get too down into the details and missing the point of what God says on a matter.
Well, we're backing up and looking at the big picture of the whole time Jesus is in the temple. We're not just reading one context. We're reading about all the things that are happening in the temple while Jesus is in the temple. While he is soon to die on the cross, he's going to say a few more things. He's going to give a big picture of what's going to happen in the last days here real soon. That comes up next. We're still in the temple. These are the people that have taken over the temple. They've taken over the religion in Israel. I think people have taken over the religion in America. It used to be different. And look at what America's morality today versus the 1950s. Look at our safety. Look at the things you see on TV. Look at the music people play versus what they played in the 60s. Way more melodic, more chaotic now. But it was more mathematical. Now, I don't know if math has a point in some music. Seriously. I think it actually has to do with people's mental health. And I know if I listen to too much of one type of music, I start feeling depressed. If I listen to good music, the words are good and the melody is good, I go to a different place. And all, and you, but you look at the whole character of America, how it's changing, how largely it's changing. It's an eye opener where we're going, and the churches are going right along with it.
Mm.
They're not the same as they used to be.
Jeanette just showed me a thing yesterday. She said, "Oh, this is what the kids have to take to school now, and it's a backpack." But it's clear or it's mesh. It has to be. And it's because of all the stuff that's been going on with folks taking weapons to school, and they want to be able to see what you're carrying. Just kind of like a another staple.
They
into
don't
what's
protect
going on.
The kids, but they give them more laws to live by.
Right.
They're really not protecting them. And schools were never like that when they were God-based. When people went to church, tried to live by the laws, and part of the laws were obeying God's commandments, and half of them were how you treat your brother. Five commandments, one whole stone. One whole stone, how you respect, honor, talk about God, treat God. The other stone is how you treat your brother. And that is missing today. What'd you see, Andy?
Well, you know that this word G-E-N-N-A is in here twice, Gienna. And it has to do with, I guess people would generally would look at that as hell. It has to do with that. And the very first warning, he says, that these people go across land and sea. That means they travel out to make just one proselyte. And when this person has become their proselyte, they make him twice as much a son of Gehenna than they are. So he calls them sons of Gehenna or sons of the devil. He calls them that. And then over here in the other side, it uses the word in verse 32. It says, fill you up also the measure of your father. He calls them serpents, offspring of vipers. How will you escape the judgment of Gehenna? Now, and he calls them in another place, whited sepulchers or tombs. Outwardly they appear beautiful, but they're full inside. They're dead men's bones and uncleanness. These are saying some very big items to these people. Not just what they're doing, but who they are.
And he's not talking to the average person. He's talking to the religious leaders of
yes,
the day.
Yes, that's exactly what he's telling
them. In all the different denominations. Doesn't make any difference what we are. We have to measure ourselves and look at where do I stand in this.
So this list says what they're doing, but Jesus says who they are too. Right. He describes them.
Serpents, vipers.
How shall you escape the judgment of Gehenna?
You know, there's no such word as hell. That's a man-made word. The word Hades, Hades, which is a compound word, ah, without, and ideo, it's without godly eyesight. When John raised Peter to the tomb when Jesus was raised, only John went all the way in, and he, with spiritual eyes, saw and believed. He was first to the tomb, John was, and he saw... what was that word?
Blepo?
Blepo, like blepharitis.
Mm-hmm.
He saw with blepharitis, limited physical eyesight. And then Peter went in further, thank you. And Peter went in further and he theorioed. You know, there's a lot of science based on theorio, theory. That's our word. That means to make a guess with good information.
With knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, you've got some information, but it's still not the real thing. And then they study this thing a little bit more, and it changes their whole theory, and all of a sudden they ideo, and they can see the small, down to the sub-microscopic detail. And so this, it's godly eyesight. God could see right into the heart of man. He's not limited in his eyesight. And this Hades, the ideo eyes, men are without it eternally. And Gehenna is a fire. Yennefer. And there is another place called, but it's just for the angels. There's another term with its own name.
You talking about
Sheol?
No. Sheol is the Old Testament word
of the same as
for grave.
For the grave.
Yeah, but there's another word, especially just the angels. They are bound for, and I can't think of it right now.
Tartarus?
It was
Tartarus.
Yeah.
Tartarus.
Yeah. So that's why it's better when you get 70, almost 77, you need help remembering some of these things. Tartarus is for angels. This is not for people.
So these guys have the word fire associated, put on them.
Oh, yeah. Gen of fire.
Wow.
And you can see descriptions of the pit and so on in the Old Testament. And the deeper you go into the pit, the hotter it is. Remember, there's a whole chapter that really goes into detail into the pit, the bottomless pit. And depending on what your punishment is, you go deeper and hotter, deeper, hotter, deeper, hotter. And then that's the term pit. And I don't know what the Hebrew word is on that. I don't know all 2,000 Hebrew words yet. Which probably is a good thing I don't know too many, because I'll just have forgotten more, you know, at my age. So anyway, somebody look that up. Come tomorrow. You can come tomorrow, Brett?
Yeah, I'll be here.
Okay, well, look that up, would you? And let
Lord
us know.
Willing.
Okay, Brett's going to report back to what the Hebrew word is for the pit.
The pit.
So I noticed I was counting some things, and the listeners can count this too and look at it. This isn't hard. He had 7 woes, and I counted 6 hypocrites and 5 blinds.
All talking about those religious
all
leaders.
Talking about
all 3 of these woes.
Scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites, said hypocrite 6 times, blind 5 times, woe 7 times. I could say Gehenna 2 times because it's in there.
And they did a lot of swearing. And they swore by the temple, they swore by the altar, they swore by the gift, and they swore by the altar several times. Who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells therein. So they were just swearing, they were actually swearing by God, which we're not supposed to do.
Let your yes be yes.
Yea be yea, and we're also to say God's will. We don't manipulate these things. And he called them blind, and he called them fools and blind, Andy, in verse 17.
Fools and blind.
That's the Greek word moron in Greek.
It means?
And that's the name of a particular angel of a particular church. Now, you tell me why people don't see that one. Seriously, really. It's right there in front of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. When you really listen to people and what they're saying, it is actually quite interesting. Well, we're coming to an end on this one. We're going to be, wait till tomorrow. We're going to be going through, it's probably one of my favorite areas I love to teach about the last days and the end times. So we'll see you again tomorrow, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.